Okay, we are on the air. So a few shaylos are sent in. This is a very uniquely, perhaps, Corona shayla, but it really could happen any time. Someone yesterday called me out, who's davening outside. And while he was davening outside, in the middle of Shemar, I said, hello, Aaron Lieberman. While he was davening outside, in the middle of Shemar Esrei, he looked down the floor and he saw that there was some excrement, feces, otherwise known as tsoah, that was right near him. It was within 4 amas of him, within less than 6 feet. So what should he do? What could he not do? So the truth is, the way it goes is, before you daven, when you daven outside, and I guess if you daven inside in places that aren't so clean, you need to look around your 4 amas to make sure that there is nothing there. There's no tsoah, no excrement feces in your neighborhood, and that there's no smell. Now, in this case, he did not do that. He's considered negligent. Shulchan Aruch holds that is negligent, and therefore, theoretically, he would have to daven again. He's not yotze daven. Now, it turned out that had it been human excrement, so then it would be a problem. Then he would not be yotze. So I asked him to do some inspection, and it was not human. It was from a dog or a cat, in which case we're more lenient. And as long as there's no odor coming to his immediate vicinity, so therefore he is still yotze. So that's the bottom line. Before you dive in, check your neighborhood. Check and make sure it is clean. If it's not clean, don't dive in every way. If you forgot to check and it's human feces, you're not yotze. If it's animal and there's a smell, you're not yotze. If it's animal and there's no smell, then you're yotze. What comes up a lot and what Aaron Lieberman just asked is, what about with your own children? Sometimes you're davening with them, you're davening at home, and you're holding them, or you're near them. So first of all, you shouldn't really be holding children during davening, because you shouldn't hold anything during Shemar Esrei, because it takes away concentration. So that's another shayla. But let's say within your dalet amos, there are children. So then, if they have a dirty diaper, and you smell it, you can't daven. You have to move out of the way or move them out of the way. If you don't smell it and you don't see it, so then it's okay. So you have to make sure that you're in that area that you're not smelling it and not seeing it with children as well. Okay, Ava Florence, we just discussed davening with children or outside, make sure the neighborhood is clean from tsoah, or else you may not be yotze. Shaila number 2 sent in is bracha achrona on coffee and tea. So the rule is, if you drink 3.3 ounces of a drink, you need to make a bracha achrona for nefashos, but it has to be that is drunk or drunken in a certain period of time. It's my focus of what that time period is. One sheet to hold, it has to be immediate. No breaks. You just drink like a normal person would drink a cold cup of water, 3.3 ounces in 10 seconds, let's say. The other sheet holds if you have up to 4 minutes. So that's the machlokas, how long you have. Now, that's by a cup of cold water or cold soda. By tea or coffee, there's an added machlokas. Because some say, since that's a normal way to drink it, so then everyone holds you have 4 minutes. Therefore, it comes like this. When is a regular cup of cold drink? If you sip it in over 4 minutes, it's not good enough. You have to drink it, basakas is called, right away. Then make a bracha achrona. If not, no bracha achrona. When it comes to hot drinks, so then there's an added machlokas, maybe everyone holds you have until 4 minutes. And therefore, ideally, you would want to drink 3.3 ounces of some other drink, the basakas, or at the end of your coffee or tea, the last little bit, if there's 3 ounces that's not so hot, drink that quickly. If both those things don't come up, there's no other drink and the coffee is being sipped the whole way, you have found yourself in a major fight of what to do. Whatever you do, someone will applaud you and someone will boo you. Therefore, it's better to avoid the situation. The minhag is, I believe, not to make the bracha, but if you do make the bracha, it is okay. But try to avoid that situation. And the last shayla I sent in for yesterday was, davening in English. We may have discussed it a little bit ago. Someone's ideally daven his whole Shmona Esrei in English. So the bottom line is, if you daven in any language that you understand, you're yotze. If you daven in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it, you're yotze. Now the words of Hebrew have a special, there's a lot of hidden things going on with the words. And therefore, if you're able to, you should daven in Hebrew, Shmona Esrei at least, and your own personal tefillah at the end, say them in English. If you're just not feeling it, you really feel like you need to daven in English, you are yotze Shmona Esrei daven in English, just that it would be better if you would daven in Hebrew, if you can. All right, that is a wrap on random Shabbos. Okay, here we go. Tonight's main event. I was planning on doing it in one shiur, but when I gave the Israeli shiur 2 hours ago, it took a lot longer than expected, so I'm going to split this up into two. So we'll do Hilchos Yichud in two parts, and the Shem tonight will be part one. All right, here we go. A little bit of a hakdama, introduction, is so far we have learned most of the halachas we discuss here are in Hilchos in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. We did a little bit Yoredeya as well. Tonight's topic is an Evin HaEzer, right? The one with our four halachas in Shulchan Aruch, Evin HaEzer is the one that deals with women halachas, or halachas dealing with women, like marriage, divorce, ksuva, all these things. So over there, Hilchos Yichud is in Siman Chaf Beis, but in Siman Chaf Aleph is where I just want to start with the headline. Siman Chaf Aleph in Hilchos in Evin HaEzer, the headline is L'Hisrachek Min HaRayis, to distance yourself from Arayis. Arayis means forbidden relationships. And he discusses in Siman Chaf Aleph the Isser of touching, the Isser of staring, the Isser of being too friendly with other women that you cannot marry or that you're not married to, no staring, things like that. A whole list of different things that you're not allowed to do. And the headline, he starts with the Srachik Min Arayis, to distance yourself from Arayis. And he starts off with a lashon that I believe not found anywhere else in Shulchan Aruch. So he starts out, Tzarich Adam L'Srachik Min Nashim Ma'od Ma'od. You need to distance yourself from women, Ma'od Ma'od, which means a lot, a lot. And that lashon he reserves for over there. He doesn't say that by eating Yom Kippur. You must stay away, very, very, very far away from eating Yom Kippur. He doesn't say that. Or by Chametz on Pesach. He doesn't say that. It's a lashon which is reserved for over here because of perhaps the Yetzirah that's so strong, the drive. And therefore, that's what Siman Chaf Aleph is discussing. A lot of things that you're not allowed to do with women. And now, most of those halachas are really on the issers on the men, not on the women. For example, a man cannot stare at a woman. A woman can stare at a man. A man should not be thinking about women, but a woman can think about men. There are a lot of things that are really in the men's camp that are us to do, whereas the women not. There are some things that women as well. So this is Siman Chaf Aleph. With that, we move into Siman Chaf Beis. Siman Chaf Beis is Hilchos Yichud. Now Hilchos Yichud is equal as the Isser both on the man and the woman. Hilchos Yichud is not just on the man. It's also on the woman. And here the Isser is just being alone. That's the Isser itself. No, nothing to do with thoughts, nothing to do with touching, nothing to do with anything else except for just being alone in the same environment. In next week's year, we'll figure out exactly what that environment is. But being alone, with what we're calling tonight, yichud, halachic yichud, being alone with a woman, that is Isser. Now, it turns out it could be an Isser d'oraisa or an Isser d'rabbanan. If the lady is, or the relation between the man and the woman is a relationship that they're not allowed to get married. For example, certain relatives, not all relatives, but certain relatives, or a married lady, or a nida, where there would be an Isser for them to get married, then the Isser Yichud there is an Isser d'oraisa. The Gemara Kedushin Daf Pei learns that from a pasuk, Isser d'oraisa for Yichud. If it's a lady that is single, so then you would be allowed to marry her. So then the Isser there is only the Rabbanah. So on dating, there's no heter for Yichud, but perhaps only the Rabbanah. However, she's a Nida, which you would assume. So that it may be an Isser d'oraisa as well. Okay, so now, so this is the introduction that you have the Isser d'oraisa or the Rabbanah and it's equal both on the man and the woman. I want to digress a little bit over here, just to put this into context. If someone's on a diet, they may say, I'm not going to buy a donut, because if I'm alone in the room with that donut, I'm going to eat that donut. And that's a personal approach to what they're dealing with. It's not that it's us, it's no issue, but they know themselves. Similarly, let's say you have a real taiva for a hamburger from McDonald's, a nice cheeseburger. So is there an issue for you to buy it and put it in the same room with you and lock the door? It's just you and that hamburger. There's no issue. There's no issue yichud with a geschmack hamburger from McDonald's. However, if you know yourself and that you won't be able to control yourself, well, then you shouldn't do that. But it's not us to buy it and be alone with a hamburger. Same thing on Yom Kippur. You can be surrounded with food all over the place on Yom Kippur. It doesn't mean you should, but there's no issue to do that. All these things are really personal. If you think that you're okay, then you're okay. And if you think you're not okay, well, then you shouldn't do it. When it comes to yichud with women, flesh and blood, there, we don't leave it up to you. It's not, oh, well, I'm going to be okay. She's 97 years old and she smells and she's ugly. I can be alone with her. It doesn't matter. There's no heter. This is not left up to the individual. And this all goes back to what the Shulchan Aruch said before, ma'od, ma'od. And what really is going on here is that the Gemara discusses that back in the day, there was a real Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. You and I today, we don't get it. Like, we see a golden idol and we don't really have a drive to start worshiping it or like making in front of it or doing any other type of worship, right? It doesn't really talk to us. And we don't really understand how it was such a thing, but it was. And the reason is because there was a Yetzer Hara for it. And Hashem took away that Yetzer Hara. When it comes to women, the Gemara discusses, take it away, not take it away. It was taken away. Maybe there should be this Yetzer Hara taken away for women. The Gemara says it can't be. There was a heavenly debate about it. And it came out that if that were to happen, there would be no children in the world. There will be no drive for a man and a woman to be together because there's no Yetzer Hara. The same way there's no drive for you to go worship that Ketzka, that idol, there will be no drive for a man and a woman to be together. And therefore, the Yetzer Hara was put back. So therefore, the men and the women. Now, the men have a supreme Yetzer Hara, whereas the women have a little bit less, because by the women, normally there has to be some emotional connection. Whereas by the men, you don't need any emotional connection. The drive is there. It's a physical drive. It's no one's fault. And it's nobody's fault. And it's there. It's Hashem put in the world. Maybe we should have modified it. Hashem decided not. Hashem wanted that drive to be so strong because he wanted people to have 10 children, 15 children, 20 children, have them popping out the walls. He wanted the world to be, this week's parasha, Furuvu. He wanted many babies popping out of the walls, and therefore, it was not modified. Because of that, the drive is so strong, therefore the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara, and the Pasuk, ask it just being alone with a woman, whether you think you can handle it or not, it's awesome. And just to a little bit more digress, nowadays many people have very cool smartphones that have the ability to do almost everything, right? People could be almost married to their phone, have children with their phone. There are a lot of things that are going on with phones. Now, mutter, usser, that's something which, again, is like a hamburger, right? There's no one's gonna tell you that there's an issur d'oraisa to have that phone or issur d'oraisa to be alone in the room with your phone. It's not like that. However, that would be more like a personal thing. You with that hamburger, can you be alone with that hamburger? Can you? Do you really think so? So here also with the phone also, it's very close to arias because you could look at things that you shouldn't. But I can't tell you that it is not flesh and blood. So we have the Issur Yichud. Yechazkel was starting out. This was the introduction to Issur Yichud. We have over here a flesh and blood lady. No matter who you are, what you think, there's this Issur Yichud. Whereas with a phone or other things, it will be left up to your discretion, but knowing that the taiva for women is severe, perhaps you should not treat your phone like a hamburger, and therefore you should put more precautions in, but that is not Shulchan Aruch. So here we go. Now, the rules of Isser Yichud. So tonight, we're actually going to start with some of the Heterim. All right? It is mutter to have Yichud. A man can be with a woman who is under 3 years old. Okay? So if a girl is 2.999 years old, you can have Yichud with her all you like. Okay? And vice versa. A woman can have Yichud with a child, a boy, if he's under 9 years old, 8.999. Okay, so there, those two situations, because there's no shash, it's not possible to have relations with a child that young. Therefore, there is no Isser Yichud with a boy under 9 or a girl under 3. Next, it is mutter to have Yichud with the very close relationship, like mother, grandmother, father, grandfather, and going down, a great question about babysitter, we'll get to babysitting soon. Going down generations, you can have Yichud with, well, first lateral, brother, sister, and then going down, child, grandchild. Okay, those immediate relations, really the ones that you stitch Shiva for, right? The closest relatives, which would be up, father, grandfather, even though you don't say Shiva for grandparents, but going up is fine. Going down is fine, and directly lateral, which is brother, sister. However, other relationships like nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins, there is an Isser Yichud. And it could be deraisa, depending on the situation, but there's an Isser Yichud with any of these other relatives. Now, what about married women? So if the married woman happens to be married to you, then it's fine. So you can have Yichud with your own wife, which is a good thing. Even if she's a Nida, you can have Yichud with her, unless it was before the first time you were together. That would be a different story after the Chuppah. But in general, your own wife, you can have Yichud with even if she's a Nida. However, any other married lady, there is an Issur to have Yichud with. Okay, so we have any relative that's close, up, down, fine, outside of the immediate box, Usher. And therefore, it's a very good question that Aaron Lieberman just asked. When you're babysitting your niece, or you're babysitting your next door neighbor, and it's a situation of yichud, that would be a problem. In next week's shiur, we're going to discuss how to get out of the problem, but there's a real issue because as long as that niece or that child you're babysitting is over 3 years old, and you are a man, and she is a woman, you have an isser yichud in that situation. Okay, again, we'll discuss heterim soon, but first we're going to map out which girls are we talking about. Now, is a very tricky issue as far as goyim. So there is an Isser to have Yichud, a man cannot have Yichud with a goyish girl. We'll call her a shiksa. You're not allowed to have Yichud with a goyish girl, a goya, or any other term you like. That is Isser. Vice versa, a Jewish girl cannot have Yichud with a goy. What's interesting is Yichud with a goy is more severe than Yichud with a Jew or with a Goyish lady. And the reason is, by Goyim, we're more concerned not just about seduction, we're also concerned about rape, about an onyx. And therefore, if a lady is going to have Yichud with a Goy, not only must it be a situation where there's no Isser Yichud, and there's no doubt about seduction, you also have to make sure it's a situation where there won't be a rape, which means there has to be other people around or hearing, which we'll get to soon. Okay, so this is a setup of the people. Now, as far as what Josh has asked, as far as if you are tutoring on Zoom, there's no Isser Yichud about if it's through the computer, right? I mean, you can be alone with her if she is 20,000 miles away, just you're seeing her on the screen. Now, you may have other things. You're not allowed to think about her. She has to be clothed properly. Those things will apply. But Yichud through the computer will be fine. You won't have that issue. Okay, so now we have over here the setup. Now, one major heter by married people is what's called Baila Ba'ir. The husband is in the city, which means like this. If Mrs. Goldstein is home alone and there's a plumber coming, and let's just say for argument's sake right now, the plumber is Jewish. Okay, so the Jewish plumber coming to Mrs. Goldstein's house. It's just the two of them. So, but besides the door being open, that we'll discuss next year. But that is a situation of the Isser Yichud. That is a married lady with someone else. That's Isser Yichud. But let's say Rabbi Goldstein works. So if Rabbi Goldstein is on a road trip and is out of the city, Aser. If Rabbi Goldstein works in the city, so then you have the hetter that's called Baal of the Ear. As long as the husband is in the city, it is mutter. But where it gets tricky is Rabbi Goldstein is a workaholic and he works every day from 9 to 9. He has never come home early ever, one day, not one day in his life, never. So the hetter for Baal of the Ear is really difficult because she's not really expecting him to come home. So the letter of the law would still allow it. The fact that he's in the proximity would instill a fear in Mrs. Goldstein, and therefore the letter of law would allow it. However, you had to be somewhat honest with yourselves. Since you know he may not come home and the fear factor may not be there, it's going to be a very weak, weak heter. And therefore it would be better to find other heterim in such a situation. But letter of law, as long as the husband is in the city and theoretically could come home, fine. Let's say the husband is in the city, but he's in jail. Or he's in the city, but he is in the hospital. Or he perhaps is even in the same apartment, but he's deaf and bedridden. Those cases would not be cases where you would have a heter, a Baal of the Ear, because those cases are impossible for him to walk in and see what's going on. So even though there's a heter Baal of the Ear, that heter would not be practical in those situations. Now, what about flip it? Let's say Rabbi Goldstein is home and the plumberess, or we'll call her the cleaning lady, is coming over. Okay, so Rabbi Goldstein is home and the cleaning lady is over. That would be a situation of the Isser Yichud. Whether the cleaning lady is a guy or not a guy, there would be an Isser Yichud in such a situation. Now, is there a heter of wife is Ba'ir, the wife is in the city? So that is that which is discussed in the Paiskim. It comes out like this. It's a smaller heter. And there, everyone agrees, only if there's a real chance that wife would walk in at any minute, will there be a heter. If you know wife is working in her office, 10 minutes away, 20 minutes away, and you don't expect her at home, so there's not going to be a heter of wife is in the city. But if the wife is nearby, running errands, popping in, popping out, even though you don't know that she's going to walk in any minute, but she could walk in any minute, so then that would be a heter, but it's a lot smaller heter of wife in the city. Now, as far going back to the plumber, it's Mrs. Goldstein and the plumber. Now, let's say the plumber was a guy. So then the heter Baal of the Ear would reduce and remove the concern of seduction. However, the concern of rape would still be there. And therefore, if the worker was a guy, you would not be allowed to have them alone unless there is someone in shouting range. You have to, or camera of some sort, there would have to be something that would prevent and scare the guy. Even though he's the nicest guy, if you've known him for 75 years and fixing your toilets, it doesn't matter. A guy is a guy, a girl is a girl, and therefore they have this added shot. Now, as far as the cell phone, I had to use that last night. Someone called me up and was in a situation of potential yichud and said, can we talk on the phone to avoid that? So I believe it's not ideal, but it's probably better than nothing. I mean, this was a situation, I think, when someone was on a bus. It was dark outside, no one could see in. It was just the driver and this girl, or maybe one other guy on the bus, which would still be a problem. So this girl caught up, is this an issue of yichud? And it really is. And we kept the girl on the phone until other people came on the bus. So I guess the phone, if you're constantly in communication with her, so then you'll know what's going on. And for sure, practically, it works. Will it halakhically work? I hope so. But definitely practically, it takes away the concern. Okay, so now these were the women and the husband-wife relationships that may allow or disallow yichud. Now, moving on to the next category, which we're going to just start, which is the heter called a shomer. So now when you have a situation where there isn't a yichud, but you have a shomer, so a shomer would allow it. Now, if it's during the daytime, one shomer is enough. If it is during the nighttime, where people fall asleep, so then the halacha requires two shomer. Now, we'll have to see how that plays out, but during the day, one shomer is enough. At night, two shomer are enough. Fine. Now, who can be a shomer? That we're going to save for next time. Loosely, certain relatives could be a shomer. We also need to discuss is how many men and women, right? One-on-one is a real problem. What if it's one-on-two, two-on-two, three-on-two, full house? How does it work? That will also be in the shomer family, and that we'll discuss also next time. And also what we need to discuss still is a situation of yichud, meaning it's possible you could even be outside and there will still be a yichud, right? If you are on a date and you go to the most beautiful, secluded spot, that will still be a yichud. So we're going to discuss exactly what's considered secluded, how often do people have to come, and that we'll save for next time. Okay, so the wrap up here is deraisa in some cases, is derban in others, a built-in taiva, yetzahara, men for women, and therefore we have this chiv here, not a recommendation, but a chiv to not have this yichud. With immediate relatives, it's fine. Children under two, under three, or under nine, boy, girl, are fine. If a husband's in the city, fine. Woman, wife in the city could be fine. And with goyim, an extra concern needed there as far as rape. And that will be it for tonight. So next time we'll do the second part and finish it up. End off with bitachon, the thought from the Chavis HaLevavos in Shai Bitachon. So we're in Perek Gimel, and the last time we did this, discussed a total of six different reasons why you should for sure have bitachon in Hashem, because He loves you, He knows what you need, He's the all-powerful, etc. He can carry through for you. Tonight, he ends off with Tanai Shvi'i, the seventh thing, which is very long and very unique. He says, when Hashem created the world, Hashem pretty much was goyzer. That's the lesson he uses. Exactly what's going to be happening to you. What you're going to be getting, what you're not going to be getting. Now, it's not clear if he means that in Rosh Hashanah or in the world. Whatever it is, Hashem has somewhat predetermined what you're going to be getting. Our job is really just to access it. Our hishtadlus is just accessing what it is that Hashem has for us and not necessarily creating or getting something new that we weren't predetermined to get. It's a very hard idea, but therefore he's saying, based on that, why would you have bitachon in the human? Why would you have bitachon? Like, he has nothing to do with that. That thing is already there. It's like a soda machine. The soda is right there. You just need to do something to access it. You're doing your hishtadlus to access it. You don't really need bitachon in other people. That's not really going to help you. What really will help you is bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem, I know you have it for me. I know it's good for me. I know it's waiting for me. So Hashem, I'm going to do my hishtadlus just to access that you have waiting for me. Anyway, that was an idea that he has here in Perek Gimel. In Hilchos Tefillah, or Kavanas for Tefillah, I wanted to start with the word, but I got sidetracked because I saw another idea in Hilchos Tefillah, another Kavana you should be having in Shulchan Aruch, again, not Kabbalistic, in Shulchan Aruch, Simen, Tzadik Ches. So we discussed last 2 weeks that when you're davening, you should have in mind that you are in front of the king. You should try to picture yourself as if you're in the Beis HaMikdash inside, not just facing, but think that you're in the Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies, and davening there. And what I just saw this week also is how you should be davening. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should feel as if you are an ani knocking on the door to collect money. A rash, a poor person knocking on the door. A certain level of humility that you're going to have. And the Ramah adds, you have to realize the greatness of Hashem and the lowness of man. And with that is how you're approaching Shmon Esrei. And it also says to remove all of your pleasures in this world. I mean, you have a full stomach, you have a Mercedes. When it comes to Davening Shmon Esrei, you have to get rid of that. That's irrelevant right now. As someone added in last year, when you're going to daven Modim and thank Hashem, it's very relevant. Think of your full stomach and think of your Mercedes. But when it comes down to beginning Shmon Esrei, we're approaching Hashem. Hashem, you're great. Please help me out with this, this, and this. Don't come in there, Mr. Mercedes. You come in there as a poor person approaching the high almighty. And so therefore, to just put this all together, now hopefully the words, what you're doing is you're poor in front of the unbelievable, powerful Hashem in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, that's where you're dominating. And that with that kavana, it may help you not spaced out perhaps, but will also help me with the attitude of Hashem, I really need you because I don't have anything without you. Okay, and we'll end off with a thought on the Parsha, Parsha Shemais. So the Bnei Yisrael were enslaved and Hashem gave them a bracha of having six children at a time, which men or women, maybe, I think that's a bracha, but that is a super duper bracha, having six children at a time, and they had them. So what I always wanted to know is, what were Moshe Rabbeinu's five siblings' names, right? Who was born Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Miriam and Aaron were born before him. But in Moshe's birth, who were the six tuplets over there? I want to know what happened to them. Where were they? And the answer is there were no other children. It was only Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, why is that? Why was it that all Bnei Yisrael having six at a time, but not Moshe Rabbeinu in his womb or in Yocheved's womb? And the answer is because he was Sheva Levi. So why? It's fascinating that Sheva Levi were not oppressed. So since they were not oppressed, they were not given the bracha of six at a time. Whereas the other 11 Shvatim were oppressed, so they were given the bracha of six children at a time. If you look at the census throughout Israel, Sheva Levi was always on the lower end. There may be some other explanations for that, but definitely started that they got all the other Shvatim got a head start. Because all the other Shvatim were having six at a time, whereas Sheva Levi wasn't. There are other things involved as well, but the question is, why was Sheva Levi not oppressed? And we see that, but Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron were coming and going. They were talking to Paro, like knocking on his door, where everyone else was working. Like, what's up with that? Why were they allowed to walk around? The answer is because they were Sheva Levi. So it's fascinating. What was happening there? 11 Shvatim were doing backbreaking work, and Sheva Levi was in the Beis Medrash learning. They were learning in Kailul in Mitzrayim, and guess who was paying their Kailul check? None other than the holy Paro, because there was no money in Mitzrayim. Everything was Paro. So you have an unbelievable situation. 11 tribes are working their tail off, suffering, and Sheva Levi isn't. It's just unbelievable. It seems, we spoke about last week, Yisachar and Zebulun. It seems that Sheva Levi took over the Yisachar role. And the reason is, brought down in Midrashim, that the Bnei Yisrael and the Mitzrayim, they started to assimilate a little bit, even though they kept their clothing and language, but they started working and mingling and getting involved with the Goyim, with the Mitzrayim. And therefore, they eventually were the ones that also became enslaved. If you got that job, you eventually got that slavery job as well. Where Sheva Levi the whole time kept separate. And that was their schus to stay separate and not to be included in the Shibur. We find again by the Chet Ego, they also had that ability. We see Sheva Levi had this ability to not follow the rest of Klal Yisrael. They had the ability to say, listen, this is right and this is wrong. And I don't care that 11 twelfths of my nation are running after that. We're not going to. And that was the schus that Sheva Levi had to not be oppressed. So it's like for us, our takeaway is, okay, we may not all be, or none of us actually here tonight, are from Sheva Levi, to the best of my knowledge. But, Avi, you are, very good. So Av is from the holy ones, that's from Sheva Levi, but the rest of us are not, I don't think. But the idea is the Mida that Levi had of recognizing what's right and not going after it, and going after what everyone else is doing, that's for sure we all can do. And the Rambam says, everyone can be Sheva Levi. When it comes to this commitment to Torah, the Rambam says at the end of Shemitah of Yayel, everyone can be a Sheva Levi. So we see that even though they didn't have six at a time, which, you know, it would be great to have that, but they had many other brachas, like not being enslaved. And with that, I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. So we'll see you next week, Chelek, part two of Hilchos Yichud. All right, have a good night. Have a good Shabbos.